Hello, and welcome to Comic Rundown, the podcast that talks about story arcs. I am your host, Joe. With me today, Ron.
Hello.
And we also have another treat. We've got our friend, Brendan.
Hello.
Noob Sauce.
Noob Sauce and the youngest one of the bunch.
Before we get into the book today, Brendan, would you like to talk about your...
Let's call it your lack of comic experience.
I'll say lack of experience, yeah.
Don't really have much, right?
No, I've read a handful of comic books throughout, you know, high school and middle school. Mostly none of your popular ones like Avengers or anything like that. Very offhand. I've got into reading some books recently like Hellcat and Kim and Kim.
Never heard of it.
Which is a... it's super short series. There's like six comic books in total, if that.
Well, okay, so, but what was your introduction to the comics? Was it just comic books or like most people nowadays have been the movies or TV shows?
Cartoons when we were kids and stuff like that.
Like, what was your first dive into comic book?
Your first experience?
Would you consider a Power Rangers part of the comic book world as well?
I would say
now, because there was comic books out there, but
they didn't make the comic books until after the TV show.
That's true.
Okay, because I didn't want to see those when I was like six. So like the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
But. Okay. Okay.
All right. So anyways, like I said.
But you have seen the movies, though.
Yes, I have seen the movies. So. Not all the X-Men movies or...
That's all. But...
Don't worry, that's not important to this, what we're doing today anyways.
But anyway, so today we're going to be talking about the Avengers storylines, story arcs. It's Avengers issues 57 through 60, Behold the Vision.
Even androids can cry, the name is Yellowjacket, Until Death Do Us Part. Those would be the four that we're covering.
They were written in late 1968 and early 1969. The writer is Roy Thomas, and the artist is John Buscema, with inks done by George Klein and Mike Esposito. So, the first issue, issue 57, Behold the Vision. This is the introduction of the Vision. This is his first appearance. And we start out with him walking through the rain. I mean, right now he's just an android. He doesn't have a name yet.
Yeah.
But
I'm digging the top of his cape, though, especially in that picture.
The collar.
Right there. Yeah, because he got the pop collar on it, and it gives him this Dracula look right
that
there.
That does have a kind of neat look, doesn't it?
Yeah. Of course, it's also got a Mr. Sinister sort of look to it, too, though. So I mean,
Especially with the jewel and
the chest
forehead.
Piece. And, yep. Yeah.
They do allude to his powers in this first one as well. The rain cannot touch him.
Well.
Yeah, well, right there on the first page because he's, you know, yeah, he controls his own density. Not to be confused with his destiny.
Spoiler.
Thank you, George McFly.
I was hoping you'd get that.
Oh, of course I get that. All right, so he is on a mission to... Well, we don't know what the mission is just yet. But we see him lurking outside of Janet Van Dyne's apartment.
I love that lurking.
Yeah, he's just crouching, lurking, whatever you want to call it. But Jan is talking to Hank Pym. They are not really arguing, but she's wanting him to stay. And he's like, oh, I gotta go do my science stuff. So
nerd sauce.
Yeah. It's not one of those things where
he was more interested in a lab germ culture than he was spending a night in, you know, with
his girlfriend.
Yeah.
His girlfriend, not fiance yet, because
that's right.
You know, she really wants to marry him,
but he won't pop the question.
He really wants to marry her, but he's too busy with science.
Well, that and he doesn't think that he's good enough for her, you know. So he doesn't want to, you know.
And welcome to the 60s.
Yeah. Well, late teen. Yeah. Exactly. So what is happening? He leaves. She is kind of like in her own head. Like, well, eventually he'll wise up, right? I think maybe. While this is happening, the android.
She hears something behind her. And turns around and bam, he's right there.
Getting ready to attack her. And I love this. I love her. This is a superhero at its finest because she is...
Terrified, throwing herself up against the wall. Yeah. Looks like the victim of every horror movie you ever watched.
Back in the 60s.
Back
yeah,
in the
perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
I need a big, strong man.
And then she's like, oh, wait, I have powers. She turns, you know, herself small into the wasp, flies through a keyhole. And she's like, there, he should have a hard time getting through that door.
As he walks right through a wall.
Phases. Let's call it phasing.
Right through a wall. Yeah. Whatever. And now she's like, oh no, I'm scared.
Like I said, another picture right out of a, you know, old horror movie.
Which, I mean, again, this is 1960s.
Yeah. But she's also a superhero. She should
That's
have
the thing
like,
that gets me. Like, she is a superhero. She's faced off, I think, literally just faced off against, like, Ultron not too long ago. It's like...
Not yet.
He showed up two issues before this.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So, as this is happening...
He's blasting her with his, you know, thermoscopic eyes. And she's like, oh, God, the pain, it hurts so much. And then he's like,
wait. The heat is unbearable.
Yeah. And then he's like, wait, I've got a pain in my head. Arg! And then he passes out. On the street below. Now, mind you, the only time that somebody yelled really loud, it was Vision. But on the street, he says, oh, wait, that signal, never mind. See, all I saw was the it's jammed. I didn't see the signal part, but he, so.
Well, this goes back to, you know how we talked the one episode in Teen Titans with Robin having super hearing?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know,
yeah.
Hank Pym has super hearing as well.
But it wasn't. It was a signal on his belt. But I didn't see that part. That's where my thumb sits when I read.
Oh, that's fair.
Anyways.
I got a picture to show you later.
So old Goliath here, you know, imposes himself into a super huge size.
Terrifies that bystander.
The
only bystander around ever.
The dude pops up like a couple different times in the comics.
I'm pretty sure it's not the same guy, but it looks like the same guy.
So Goliath, you know, climbs up the side of the building, smashes his way through a window, and then, you know, shrinks his way back down to a normal size. And
all the while, Jan's like, at least my intruder opened up the window.
It's you got paid for this? Through it.
All sassy. Like, it's great.
And then, you know, Hank standing over him like, yeah, I just actually did something, but I didn't. And
so we go over to, turn pages to
another apartment somewhere on New York's Upper East Side.
And we see Hawkeye coming through the door as Black Widow is
hanging
on the
upside
ceiling.
Down mm-hmm. from the ceiling. And something I didn't know she could do.
New boots, I guess?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Anyways.
But I never knew she had this costume. This costume is.
It's fishnet very with fishnet. A corset. It's a corset with fishnet boots and gloves and a cape.
And the cape, and you got the little the
BW. Yeah, she's got the B earrings and the W brooch, so she's the Black Widow.
Yeah, it looked.
She had to get the bling going.
Oh, and she's not a redhead.
Yeah, which is horrible.
Black hair.
Yeah, black hair for the Black Widow. Yep. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, it's not. I'm not against it. It was just when I first read it, it was odd to see. I'm like, is that actually because he just calls her Natasha?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess he does. No, she does say Black Widow.
No, she calls herself the Black Widow because they've got the third person thing going on throughout these whole comics.
Oh, by the way, I got a name game we can play later on for all the different names that everybody calls each other in this book.
Oh, Jesus. Because heaven forbid you call anybody by their actual name or their, you know, code name.
Yeah.
Hey, you Bowslinger.
Yeah.
Basically, exactly.
Yeah, no, we'll get to that here in a minute. I'll have you both play it.
So, like, Black Widow, the first issue you guys seen her in, was she always redhead?
These issues are before the issues that I had ever seen her in. Because the issues that I'd seen her in were in the late 90s, they would have been. And she was a redhead then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same here. It was mid to late 90s I didn't really read a lot of Marvel, but when I did, that was the farthest back I had gone. And redhead there. I think when I actually started reading Marvel, it was in the 2000s. Not just the Ultimate line, but like the major crossover stories. Like Secret War, not Secret Wars. Civil War. Like, she was a redhead then. Hmm. So
much better as a redhead, in my personal opinion.
My only reference for that, of course, is the Avengers movie.
Exactly. Ooh. Perfect example, too. Although, she Natalie, goes from blonde to red to...
Yeah, but it's Scarlett Johansson, so I mean, mm-hmm. she can do whatever color hair totally she wants. Okay. Anyways.
So, then we go back to the street level, and we have...
We forgot to cover the fact that they were arguing about her going back to work for Nick Fury.
That's right. I forgot.
No, we should also mind you that Nick Fury in this one...
this Nick Fury...
Decades.
Literally just think of David Hasselhoff with eye patch.
No. He was Nick Fury
Nick in the Shield.
Yes. Movie. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's why I said it.
Oh.
I totally get this reference.
Thanks, Cap.
Of course, they're also arguing with Hawkeye always being away on call in this section.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because she's trying to argue with him about that.
And he's like,
I got a call.
I don't have time for you, woman. I got to go back to work.
He literally does the not now, toots.
So, it's great. He apparently gets called by the Avengers, so he's got to go off. She basically says, yeah, you can leave.
I won't be here when you get back.
I'm going on a mission, dummy. So we get back down on the street, and we've got T'Challa from Wakanda, otherwise known as Black Panther. But he's just walking. He's trying to figure out what he
is doing in life.
Yeah,
basically.
Like, does he want to stay in New York or should he go back to his homeland?
He's like, I don't feel that my time with the Avengers is really what I'm supposed to be doing, and maybe I'd be better off going back home and, you know, helping them out.
Mm-hmm. And then as he's contemplating this, we have another bystander. This is actually a different one.
Yep.
Because this one gets shot.
It's a wobbly.
For those who don't speak baby, it's, he said it's a robbery.
Oh, now I get it.
Shut up. You're the baby here.
And these look like three gentlemen. Bank robbers. Yeah, these three bank robbers are trying to run away. And I know one makes a comment.
He winged this squealer in the leg, yeah. Which basically he shot the bystander that was there.
Which is just like, huh. And yeah, after he blew the whistle on us.
It's like, yeah, you stopped the guy really after he screamed for help.
Yeah, didn't really do much.
You're firing a gun.
But as they're trying to get away, Black Panther comes in and takes him out.
He kicks a dude right out of the car, like through the window, through the windshield, actually. Kicks him, knocks him out of the car, beating the crap out of him.
Yeah, he mops him up like it's nothing. Then he answers his call and heads back to the mansion.
Where he got a call from the rest of the Avengers saying, yeah,
everybody
hey.
Is meeting up. Oh, and the Avengers at this point, what I could piece together was just Goliath, Wasp, Black Panther, and Hawkeye. Those were the active ones right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty positive, you know, Iron Man, mm-hmm. Captain America, and Thor are all on the team as well, but they're busy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not...
They're kind of doing their own thing right now. They've got their own stuff going on.
Yeah, well, they're not... They're active when they need them, but these four...
That's called reserve.
Are they on reserve?
Anyway.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
Shut up.
So they are running some tests on... Well, Panther shows back up to the mansion. Mm-hmm. And they're running tests on this android that is knocked out for the time being.
It's a synthezoid.
They don't know that yet.
No, he says it right there.
It does say it.
With his 10-cent word.
Well,
he coined it because, you know, that's what he was trying to originally develop.
Mm-hmm. The Vision. I'm just going to keep calling the Vision now because the
wakes up, is annoying. Tears apart their machine, throws it around.
Oh, this is what I love. He's getting all mad and he starts to attack everybody and everybody's attacking him. And he's basically showing the capacity of his powers.
Mm-hmm.
And just...
I can make myself dense. I can, you know...
Yeah, he's
traditional Bond villain, which is telling them their powers.
Well, he's easily handling the Avengers all by himself.
Mm.
Until Goliath,
grows massive.
Gets him and holds him down. And he's like, look, we're trying to help you. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to be all broody.
Mm-hmm. One thing I do love is the reference there is Wasp was scared of him and called him perhaps a Vision.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, maybe this is what I am, a Vision.
And that's how we got his name.
Mm-hmm. It's a cute way to coin that.
I would like to point out on this page, him sitting there brooding in the chair was the first picture I had ever seen of the Vision. And I was like...
That is it. I don't want to say it's an iconic picture, but I do remember that picture. Like, I remember seeing that too.
Okay, thank you. Because, I don't know if, maybe it was in a Wizard comic from back in the 90s or something.
Oh, I love that.
For anybody that... Is Wizard still around?
No, sadly. So, he is trying to figure out what is going on.
Like, he's trying to recall where he,
his origin point was at.
Yeah.
Why he's here to kill them.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, because that was his mission. His mission was to destroy the Avengers.
You ever wonder why we're here?
Oh, don't go there.
Oh, man.
Stay on point.
Anyways, so he's like, oh, I remember a metal being that called himself Ultron 5.
Mm-hmm. And they are assuming it's the same Ultron that they ran into 2 issues back. So they are able to get a location from the Vision. And so the Avengers all hop in their
Avenger jet.
Looks like, it's a prototype Quinjet almost.
A sleek air cruiser.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it could be kind of a Quinjet-esque thing.
It's something, I don't know if it's worth note, but also that when the Vision recalls his creator, he has feelings of anger towards him. Hatred.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Which is kind of an interesting little bit. If a creature such as I be loud emotions.
Yeah, well, that's a big thing. We'll actually see us here in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he is what Hank Pym called him, a synthoid.
Right. What he's noticed, he has a human body, but his insides are all,
robotic. He's got human emotions, which is unheard of. But it was something that, like I said, Hank Pym was trying to create, but was unable to. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he saw that, he sees the Vision and...
He drew a line between those, well, these are similar workings, but, obviously whoever created this, very advanced.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it shows him flying in to the building. The building just opens up, and Jan's like, I'm sorry, the Wasp is Does anybody else think it's weird that, you know, we're just kind of getting admitted into here without, like, any question?
And I do like how Hawkeye the entire time is like, if we're walking through the trap, I've got an arrow pointed at your face. You're going to get it.
And he's like, yeah, and it's just going to bounce off my face. But anyways, and she's like, it's kind of suspicious. And Vision's like, oh, but, you know, he had made sensors to readmit me because he expected me to come back after my job was done.
I guess that makes sense. It's not a trap or anything.
This is the part that really kills me, though. So they're walking in. This flamethrower goes off, and they all, like, jump out of the way. And then as they're, like, walking through the place, Goliath falls into this, like, trapdoor pit thing. And the rest of the group's just like...
Well, he gets attacked by another giant robot.
Of cyborg or something like that. Robot.
But, yeah, he gets left down there, and everybody just... starts continue going on.
Jan's like, shouldn't we go back for Hank? And Hawkeye's like, bah, he'll be fine.
Yeah, you know Goliath, he's tough.
He fell in a hole where he doesn't know what's going on. He's probably getting the shit kicked out of him, but he'll be fine.
Totally fine.
And then everybody else is just like, oh, okay. And they go on.
Jan still is obviously, you know, worried, but they're there for a reason. So,
mm-hmm.
And Goliath can take care of himself.
He's a big boy.
Literally. So they continue on.
Until they end up in a trash compactor? They end compactor? Up in a trap. Oh, wait.
A what? What did you say?
I said a trash compactor. Oh, you know, well, kind of. I was throwing out the
Star Wars reference again.
This came up before Star Wars, so.
Oh, God, it did.
Yeah. So Ultron trips this trap. Try to say that 5 times fast.
Ultron trips a trap?
Stop it.
Ultron 5, huh?
Ultron sets off a trap. Captures them into these walls that close on.
Well, they go really fast at first, and then they slow down.
Now, are they actually going fast, because of the motion? Because it's a comic book.
Okay, fair enough. But if you look at the motion
lines... It looks like it's just slamming.
But see, the way that motion lines work as an artist is if you move something this far, you make a motion line that far.
Yeah.
If they moved in that, you know, that far...
Yeah, if it's going, according to this panel, inch and a half, it's going fast.
Yeah.
So...
But then it slows down... And Vision's like, I'm just going to pop through this wall here and, you know, see if I can these down. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, I'll come back for you guys.
Yeah, totally. Totally. We'll totally. Back. But so he goes and meets up with Ultron.
5.
Ultron 5.
The fifth one.
Got to throw that. Really? Hey, if the 5 wasn't important, they wouldn't put it there, all right? Are you just going to go say, hey, I'm going to go drink an up? No, you say you're going to drink a 7 up because the 7's important. Anyways,
sponsored by
goes and meets up with Ultron 5. And Ultron is basically telling him, hey, you're doing everything I want you to do, and that's awesome. Thank you. And Vision's like, you're a monster. I'm going to take you out. And Ultron basically says, those pesky human emotions of yours, I'll take care of you.
And he's like, yeah, you're pissing me off with your emotions. And it's like, but hey, being pissed off is an emotion too, jackass.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's, you know, what the Vision uses to best him. You might ridicule me for being emotional, but you possess them just as much as I do. And oddly enough, he smashes into a wall. He tries to hit the Vision. Now, granted, he made Vision. He should know what Vision's powers are.
In theory.
He goes charging at the Vision. Vision, you know, makes himself... as undense as he possibly can, to where Ultron 5 just flies through him.
He's doing it now.
Smashes his head into a wall and explodes.
No, not his head. Smashes the body.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. One thing I do love, they go back to the other Avengers, and they're still being crushed by the wall. The wall stops, but we have Wasp in there as Tiny. Yeah, so she'll be crushed last.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of like, bye-bye, guys.
It's like, I will survive.
I'm totally going to watch you guys die.
Yeah.
But hopefully your bones will be tense enough to keep the walls from smushing together too far.
Probably won't, but hey, worth a shot. The robot that was attacking Goliath stops, and then they're all able to meet back up with each other, and they ask Vision what happened. He says that I was able to destroy the electronodes on his... head.
What Ultron said was that the electrodes on the side of his head were the only thing that could stop him, is if you destroyed those. And the Vision's like, well, you know, his body was there, but his head wasn't there. And if the electrodes haven't been destroyed, then we could still possibly have a problem with him on our hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to the last page, and his head is somehow got out of the base.
There's your dramatic irony. They're like, oh, hey, the head's probably just exploded.
Well, it's not only that. It's like when he hit the wall, his body blew up.
The explosion from his body must have rocketed his head far enough away from where they were at to where a kid finds it, starts kicking it around like a soccer ball.
And then breaks the electrodes.
Breaks the electrodes off the side of his head, and then he's like, eh, I don't want this thing anymore, and throws it behind him.
Done.
Defeated by a teenager.
It's the fact of the head being so far out of the base.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that must have been a hell of an explosion that his body caused to pop the head off and shoot it, you know.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's no buildings around this.
No, I mean, it's all on the ground. Because they were underground. But where...
Were they underground? Because right here...
Yeah, because they went into the base.
It was a big opening in the
base. Oh, see, I thought that was a building top. But no, you're right. That is in the ground. Okay.
But at the same time, though, where was the opening...
Where was this open area
They were in the base a bit.
Yeah.
Anyways, comics, 60s, happens.
Right.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter, at Comic Rundown, on Instagram, at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with the next Avengers chapter.